that you get your notes out. You won't need your passages of scripture and for at least a little bit. I know that in the process of preparing that I recognized already, and this time with Pastor Jeremy would be a part of the message. And so I already realized that we're going to have to make this two different weeks minimal. I've got something special planned for you next week to continue the message already. If you will, this is going to be at least a two-part message because the subject is so relevant. And I also, as you notice, I'm trying to slow down a little bit and not get reared up. Are you with me? Much more into a kind of a teaching mode, if you will. So it says BCC, the Body of Christ Church, welcome back. Say that with me. Welcome back. Jazzy, I'm going to come over and preach with you. You were the loudest. Amen. So, welcome back. And I threw this welcome back part in there for a reason that I don't know if it was just Pastor's first time back preaching on last week or what it was, but man, it was a little quiet. So I would need y'all to bring your praise to the Lord today, all right?
Praise the Lord.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Let's review of last week. Would you read these with me? Ready, set, read. Jesus is our altar. We can meet and receive from him wherever we are located. All of our hope is from Jesus being faithfully the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. At any given point that you want to interrupt us because you need to shout, you just go ahead and do that, all right? Ready, set, read. Whatever situation we are in, help is on the way. God provided for our needs before the foundation of the world. Amen?
Amen.
It's okay if we don't get this word right, but we're going to try to say it anyway. That all right? Ready, set, read. The first gospel good news came in the Garden of Eden called the Proto-Evangelium. Ready, set, read. When you pray, we need patience and perseverance while the answer is on the way and maybe on delay. That's a good place to say amen.
Amen.
How many know we have need of patience and perseverance?
Yes.
It's not that you're not going to get the answer. It's just that the answer's on the way.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Ready, set, read. Jesus wept. Reveal God's heart of care for us and the care we have for people, lives, souls, and our world. Jesus wept. How many know if Jesus wept in human form, then we could weep? Read the next one. Ready, set, read. The seed of the woman, Jesus, crushed and defeated Satan the serpent by fulfilling the crucifixion, the cross, burial, and the resurrection. Hallelujah. Amen. Ready, set, read. Curbside Christ comes to deliver, picks us up, brings our breakthrough orders, and encounters us from our requests, asking, seeking, and knocking. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. I don't know who it was. I could guess if I need to, but Pastor Jeremy told me this week that something happened in the midst of their family about something not smelling so good, and one of the boys said, Daddy, that stinketh. They took some old English on that one, amen? How many know I got something else out of that? That the children might be listening to the messages better than we are. Oh, oh, whoa, whoa. Said, Daddy, something stinketh. Amen. We're in the midst of beginning something this year where this is the focus, and the focus is what? No, Jesus. The focus is what?
Jesus.
This is probably good that we're doing this, right? The focus is what?
Jesus.
Brother John, what's the focus?
Jesus.
Thank you, my brother. Amen. The focus is Jesus. Say it again. The focus is what?
Jesus.
Turn to your neighbor and say, the neighbor.
Neighbor.
Our focus
is Jesus.
Amen. We want to get Jesus as clearly focused as possible. We want to get Jesus as clearly possible, as clear as possible. And then, from seeing and listening to Jesus, we want to practice what he preached. We want to practice what he what? We're not practicing what you preach. I don't even want you to practice what you preach. I don't even want you to practice what we preach. That's good teaching. But how about we practice what he preached? Amen. There are five relevant themes along these 13, 14 weeks on our march to Lent and through Lent till we get to the resurrection, the first Sunday of April. It's through every message you should see some coordination of these things or one or two of these things stand out the most. Help is on the way. Curbside Christ. Future. Everybody say future. In order to go to the future, you got to go to in the beginning. In order to understand what's to come, you got to understand in the beginning. Because everything that will be has already been. Amen. And this one is the important one today. Believers' basic connection. Say that with me. Believers' basic connection. There's a lot composed in that. But believers' basic connection. And we'll deal with that in a minute. And then for those that are here for the first time, or maybe you missed it online, or I really need you to fill in this blank today, if you don't mind. Many of us have started some of those. But this means, what kind of life do you want? If I was to ask you, what kind of life do you want? What kind of life do you want? I want you to fill in that blank. And that means everyone, please, everyone that can understand what I'm sharing. I want you to fill the blank is. I want a or I want an what type of life? Brother Jude, I saw you here somewhere, didn't I? Brother Jude, fill in the blank for us today. What kind of life do you want? A what type of life? A what? A fulfilled life. Amen? Praise God. Binti. What kind of life? A what type of life?
Consistent.
A consistent life. How many know many of us need to get that one? Amen? What do you think, Brother Zach? What kind of life?
Satisfying.
A satisfying, right? Last week, one of the people that I originally started this question with, that's what they said, was a satisfying life. So here we are in the midst of practice what he preached. And if you don't get what we're sharing, I'm saying if we practice what he preached, you would have a satisfying life. If we practice what he preached, we will have a fulfilling life. If we practice what we preach, we will have a consistent life. Somebody say, praise God.
Praise God.
I have a question. What is this? Somebody help me. Somebody laugh. I got one mother that laughed over there. Wait a minute. Not only did a mother laugh, one mother closed her eyes. Somebody tell me what this is. Carter, you already have a resounding voice, man of God, but I don't know if you said it because of the people that's sitting right behind you. I don't know why you said what you said so loudly. I don't know why Carla smiled and laughed so great. But now we got a young person standing up. I'm just playing with you. How many know this is a what? PlayStation what?
Five.
A PlayStation 5. I want to talk about the PlayStation 5 today. That all right? That was good. Uh-oh. I got eyebrows lifted. Lance looking at me strange. I love it, bro, Sister Hyde. Amen. I'm not going to have you raise your hand if you're a gamer. Amen. I can already tell by your eyes. Amen. I want to talk about this a little bit. PS5. Here you see a picture of the very first one, the PlayStation 1. Really interesting. PlayStation 1 was announced on December 3rd of 1994. Are you with me? There's a reason why I'm speaking about this, and I'll deal with it throughout the message, is because on December 4th, 1994, there was another announcement. And on December 4th of the same year, the next day, we were in the Pioneer Room of the Memorial Union, and it was announced that Pastor Turan C. Smith and Anna Maria were going to become the pastors of BCC. That's an incredible history, amen? December 3rd, that happened. December 4th, there was another announcement. What I did not know, though, was this. Is that in 2019, recorded in the Guinness Book of World Record, was that the PlayStation, the Sony PlayStation, say that with me, Sony PlayStation, that the Sony PlayStation was the number one selling game console in the world. It's okay if y'all don't understand the connection. Yeah, can y'all stay with me? Amen. It was the number one selling console in the world. In other words, the world had gone haywire over a PlayStation. PlayStation 1, 2, 3, 4, and now we have 5. And all of a sudden, this has become, matter of fact, I have understood that there's even lawsuits about who PlayStation it is. Even within families. Are you with me? All I'm trying to say is that here it is, the world has gone mad or bonkers over a PlayStation. And I'm not condemning that. I'm not here to heap guilt on anybody, right? All I'm saying is that in the midst of a Sony PlayStation, the world has engrafted it, embraced it. It hits the Guinness Book World Record. And if you don't see where we're going today, I want you to know, Jesus. Luke chapter 11, verse 1 says, once Jesus was in a certain place praying, and as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Just as John taught his disciples. So Jesus said, when you pray, say. Everybody with me? Can I show you another verse? 7 chapters later, Luke 18, verse 1 says this. Then Jesus spoke a parable. Jesus spoke a what?
Parable.
We'll talk about parables in just a minute. Jesus spoke a parable to them that they ought always pray at all times and not give up. Be discouraged and lose heart. Jesus said that they ought always pray at all times and not give up. Be discouraged and lose heart. Amen. The reason we're talking about PlayStation this morning is because we recognize that people grow from the types of teaching that Jesus did. And you know how people grew from the teachings of Jesus? The scripture says that Jesus always spoke to the people in parables because it was something they had access to. It was something that they knew about. It was something that they had in relationship to them. And then all of a sudden, especially when we're looking at today, things as it relates to a particular basic of believers in our connection with God, our basic connection with God, a connection with Christ. A connection with each other, a connection with eternity, a connection with whatever we have need of. It is the basic of being a believer. Is everybody with me? The Son's PlayStation. The Son's PlayStation. Not Sony's PlayStation, but the Son's PlayStation. Yeah. It's a parable. It's a metaphor of looking at because Jesus in Luke 11, they come to Jesus after he was already praying. I want you to understand something. Jesus has already began the process of teaching them about prayer because he just comes back from praying. They see him ending in prayer, and because of what he was exampling by what he was showing them, they wanted to be like him. So they said, teach us how to pray just as John's disciples are praying and just how we see you praying, because every time we see you go spend time with the Father, you come back with the glory of God. God on you, and things began to happen as a result. Miracles, signs, and wonders. People's lives get breakthrough. People, things begin to change. We see goodness of God. It's like heaven on earth when you come back from spending time in prayer. You must have a praise station. Glory to God. The sons pray. Can you understand why the globe is willing to go out and pay thousands of dollars for a PlayStation if only we, the people of God, would rise up all around the world and begin to put in place a PlayStation in our lives? The world would not go down in the Guinness Book of World Record, but heaven on earth would take place. The Son's praise station. Hallelujah. How many know Jesus had a praise station? I'm going to say it again. Jesus had a praise station. And I think there's something that we can learn because they said, teach us how to pray. One scholar, one writer says they didn't ask him how to preach. Neither did they ask him how to do miracles, but they asked him, teach us to pray. How many know if we could learn how to pray, which is to say a great lesson, prayer is learned. Prayer is learned. Somebody say glory to God. Say this with me, the Son's pray station. Let's give a quick lesson about Jesus' prayer life, if y'all don't mind. I would like to. Thank you. Today, we want to look at the Son's pray station, and next week as well. Number one, Jesus taught us to pray. Number two, learning by doing. Learning by what?
Doing.
Learning by what?
Doing.
Number three, we want to understand God hears and answers us. God hears and answers us. And number four, prayer forms and fortifies us. Prayer forms us and prayer fortifies us. Number five, the fervent, effectual prayers. The fervent, effectual prayers. As we're dealing with these five relevant themes, these two stand out the most. Mostly the believer's basic connection, because how many understand that fasting and prayer, and especially those things together, they're just basics of believers for connection. For what? And if some of us, listen at this on yourself, if some of us feel like we want to be close with God, then this is an absolute guaranteed way for you to know how to draw near to Him is through having a pray station. Hallelujah. And whatever you wrote down in your blank, God wants you to have that. And I can assure you that one of the for sure ways that that will come to pass is if you have a prayer station on your own. Somebody with me? How many understand it's very, very untypical? I mean, you can go out and rent one, but how many know you just can't go to somebody's house and say, can I borrow your prayer station? Your PlayStation? Are you with me? How many know you can't borrow PlayStations? Come on. You know, I know some of y'all might, you know, but I mean, you know, if you take it, keep it too long, they will come get it back. Therefore, we cannot borrow somebody else's prayer life. We cannot always have all of our prayers go out by somebody else when God is looking for you to have your own pray station. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus taught us to pray. Look at this. Jesus prayed for others. Jesus did what? Come on, these are really good notes, and there's soundness to build a good pray station. Jesus prayed for others. In John 17, 9, we see that Jesus says, I pray for them. I pray for them. Therefore, one of the pray stations you want to have in your console is that you want to make sure you're praying for others. Amen. Number two is, look, Jesus prayed alone. Jesus prayed how? Jesus did not just wait to get with people to pray. Jesus prayed also alone. Look at this. Luke chapter 5, verse 16 reads, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." As much as Jesus understood the value of praying with and for others, he also understood the need to pray alone. Jesus had a pray station where he prayed, or as many people do, even if you can't get somebody else to play with you, you will play on your own. Hallelujah. Look at this. Jesus prayed where he was. Jesus prayed where he was. Luke chapter 6, verse 12 says, "One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray. He could have gone to a home, a synagogue, or if he were near Jerusalem, he could have gone to the temple to pray. But there were times when Jesus made the decision to pray where he was, which often happened to be in nature. All we're wanting to make sure we gather for this is that you don't have to get to a certain place or to a certain posture in order for you to reach out to God. God will be reached out and will hear you from wherever you are and whatever you're going through. God wants to hear you call on him right where you are, and you can pray as fervent as you like in your car, on your walk. We can have earbuds in, but if we have a pray station on our own, we will pray to God and he will hear us." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus taught us to pray. How did he teach us to pray? Because he had a pray station. And since Jesus had a pray station, then we are supposed to have a pray station, because the disciple says, "Teach us to pray." Glory to God. Jesus prayed for both short and long periods of time. You see, Jesus also knew how to dedicate long periods of time to prayer. As we read in Luke chapter 6, verse 12, Jesus spent the night praying to God. We too need to be able to offer short prayers as well as dedicate long periods of our lives to prayer. Amen. Glory to God. The pray station is an opportunity for us to take in something that we're far more familiar with and put it into practice, so that when we start thinking about what God can I do, or what shall I be in the midst of you, Lord, I long for you, I pant for you, that you'll remember, wait a minute, let me go to my pray station. And the pray station is the place by which we talk with and communicate with God. Hallelujah. Let me say it another way. A pray station is not just to be used when you're in need. That's a good prayer. You see, Jesus prayed for both. Jesus prayed what? Everybody, you all. Jesus prayed how? This insight is gleaned from a passage cited earlier, Luke chapter 5, verse 16. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. The operative word there is often. Jesus went often. He went what? And it's not hidden, but makes it obvious that Jesus prayed regularly. So, just as much of why these consoles and games have been utilized and bought and purchased and desired, and electronics, and man, can I play? Can I come over to play? How many understand that this alone is as much as we game we ought to be in his name? Instead of being a gamer, I want to learn how to be a namer. I want to name the name of Jesus and call upon him in the midst of prayer. Hallelujah. Because it ought to be regular. Teenagers, I know that you could go to whatever the 14th level is and maybe be able to increase your high score, but how about getting a pray station where you gain more, where you begin to claim his name more, where you begin to get a higher score in the place of where you have a sense of fervency for God? Hallelujah. Can we say the same about our prayer life? The prayers of Jesus were heartfelt. Jesus did not pray in cold, distant manner, but in heartfelt supplication, demonstrating empathy and a genuine love for God. Hallelujah. Say, pray station. Number two, learn by doing. Learn by doing. I want to make this very plain as I can in fasting and praying. You see, we can learn, grow, and come close to God by doing and going through the acts. These are basics for connection. These are basics for connection. Let me tell you what I mean. I hope you're getting something. I was speaking with the staff, and I want everybody to hear this. Just as when we announce the fast and everybody starts festering up, you know, about how are they going to fast and what is the prayers and, you know, what are the recipes and all of those things about fasting in this Daniel fast, one of the, you know, wonderful things I want people to hear is this. There are some things that we do in life that you do not know what you're going to get until you go through it. Now, I understand some of us are trying to gain a sense of control, right? Because this feels like this is out of my control. Some of us, they even admittedly said, I'm scared. Some people have said, you know, I don't know if I could do this, and I've never done this before. But here's what I want us all to get to understand. There are some powerful and mighty things that come when we go through some things. The only way you're going to know about it is when you go through it. You don't know everything that God's going to say to you until you get into it. You don't know how you're going to come out on the other side unless you first go through it. So if you only stand on this side and you want to know the end before you get in it, then you'll miss the opportunity of knowing what God wants to show you while you're in the midst of it. You see, we have tendencies to start as soon as the new Madden comes out. Come on. As soon as the game comes out, we're standing in line. We're not afraid about playing the new game because you will take it, put that bad boy in the console, and away we go. All I'm saying is you ought to get down into the pray station and along away we go. You don't know what's the next level. You don't know what's going to come at you. You don't know what might happen when this particular go around this corner. But if you get into it, you'll find yourself God taking you to places that you've never been before. Hallelujah. You've got to get in it. The only way you know it and grow it is by getting in it. Hallelujah. I want to talk about something. I want to just hit it hard. Some of us are thinkers. And we grasp everything through our intellect. And thanks be to God for the high intelligence. But some of us, we're just feelers. Are you with me? We need to feel something. And we don't want to be cut off by those that feel like, no, you're only supposed to think your way through it when all I'm used to is feeling my way through it. It's just like being a type of learner. Some of us can read it. Some of us can hear it. And some of us may be good when we see it, hear it, and read it. The issue here is that we want to learn how to come close to God. So may we not shut the door on those that's trying to get in and understand it by feeling it or reading it or thinking it or worshiping it. All we're trying to do is all of us are trying to go close to Christ. Let me say it another way. Some people use their PlayStations to play sports stuff. Some people use their PlayStations to play shoot 'em up stuff. Some people, if I had one and if I play games, I need to stay with the simple ones like Tank. Oh, y'all know what I'm saying, right? You don't even know what I'm talking about. Sister, they got some sophisticated games out today. But I am good at tank. Matter of fact, I was playing tank one time, and they said, Pastor, drop the bomb. I just shot at him. Are you with me? I don't know how to do anything else. Just hit this button. Well, do a combination. I don't know a combination. But if I stayed on that game long enough, I would know how to drop tanks, do combinations. I think we should get in a pray station and learn how to do more things in prayer than we do in the PlayStation. Hallelujah. Whoa! Glory to God. I got a good attention on the gamers. Amen. Hallelujah. How many know we're trying to grow? Amen. Say practice.
Practice.
What he preached. He preached prayer by giving it by demonstration. Amen. So let's take a look at what C.S. Lewis said. You never know what you can do until you try. And very few try, I love this, unless you have to. There's a few people in the room, about 50 of us, 50% of us, can admit we don't do anything unless we have to. How many know there is nothing like a situation going on in your life that you've been trying to learn? Jesus, teach me how to pray. But what God has given us an opportunity to is to learn how to pray before the circumstance comes up. Learning how to live in breakthrough before you get caught or trapped in a situation. James chapter 1 says it this way. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. Jump down to verse 25b says, and if you do what it says, if you do what it what? And don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Hallelujah. I'm wanting to increase the answers that we receive in our prayer life. And the way we do so is by practicing what he preached. Learn by doing. Well, what did Jesus say? Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and what? I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall. For it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. In other words, no one, no parent, no grandparent, no friend buys a PlayStation for you and you don't use it. Jesus provided us a direct access, just as the quote this morning, that we now have an opportunity to boldly come to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in a time of need. God is inviting us to have direct communion. He wants to pray station with you all the time. Hallelujah. Learn by doing. Hear this. Thinkers. You see, going from thinking to doing, there is nothing that takes place by action. And this is just really good thinking. Like art or something that's creative or something that's a meal. How many know you don't even eat a meal without first thinking? Or planning what you're going to cook. You don't do that without thinking. Please hear me. Going from thinking to doing. From thinking to what?
Doing.
From thinking to what?
Doing.
From thinking to doing. Therefore, trace that backwards. Whatever we're doing is coming from what we're thinking. That's good teaching. Therefore, we have to renew our minds to the word of God so that we're thinking the word and then we'll become to do the word. Why? Because we're going to practice what he preached, and he is the word. So we want to do and follow he who is the word. It goes from thinking to doing. From thinking to what? I pray and desire, this is a true desire of mine, to communicate inspirational ideas of Jesus, the person of truth. Truth is not an idea. Truth is a person translated into your actions that give you a whatever type of grand blank life you want to have. If you put into practice, for instance, the testimonies that will come back are those that have gone and gotten themselves a PlayStation. That's a good word. Here's what I want you to hear. Friedrich Nietzsche says this, the doer alone learneth. The doer alone learneth. We have an opportunity to learn if you just go through it. Even if you hadn't fasted the first few days and you think you want to pick up on fasting now, you ought to just go ahead and just try, because you don't know how far you can go. You don't know how far God will take you, but you've got to first try. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can come up, Peter. I didn't take the opportunity. I did take care of a couple of dates. I want to talk about 2005. In 2005, we did this thing for the very first time. We did this thing for the very first what? In 2005, for those who may or may not know, it was on next Sunday. Two Sundays from now, kind of like around that date. In 2005, we had our very first service here in this building. Somebody say amen. Why is that so memorable? Because we're building a history. And as a result of the history, it was the very first time. Matter of fact, to this day, if people call or text or Facebook, they talk about when we walked from the Memorial Union with a cross, walked all the way down Lincoln Way, we moving. Student body. We don't have very many tithes and offerings, but we got ourselves a building. Because it had never been done before. Thanks be to God. People were tired of shutting service down too early and packing up all the equipment and running us out while people were at the altar call, because there was something that God wanted to create, and that was a breakthrough that his people would have their own place where there would be no limitations. There would be freedom and liberty, and we could go from glory to glory without interruption. It's in that same way that we started church. We started service on the 21st. I think it was the 21st. Might have been the 22nd. 21st. Do you know why I know that? Because it was the very first time we had ever done a Daniel fast corporately. It was for the first time that we had ever done a Daniel fast. And we did not know what God was doing with many of us. But lifestyles had changed. People had begun to see new things. People began to experience breakthroughs, not because of fasting. I want to make this plain. Get it in your notes. Fasting is not for God. Fasting is for us. Fasting does nothing for the God that we love and serve, who has given us access and freedom. Fasting is about us. God began to do great things because we were in the right posture, the right heart attitude, the right renewing of our mind, the right separation from the world, and God did great and mighty things. Hallelujah. 2005. I'm going to make this so plain. Say practical. I want to make this so practical. I want to make this so practical. 2005, we finished the fast. I know many of y'all just think I'm so abstract, like I just don't get it. I'm trying to help people grow. I'm going to say that again. Trying to help people what? It's not just about a whole bunch of hollering and shouting. 2005, we finished the fast. We moved in a building. It was wonderful. It was glorious. Praise Jesus. I went right back to double cheeseburgers. I went right back to ice cream. I went right back to all the other great things, spaghetti, and casseroles, everything. It was good. I was on. About 3 weeks later, Anna Maria, Sister Sonia, Sister Doctor, another Sister Doctor, they were reading and learning this book, and she started another Daniel fast. And she said that the fast was supposed to end on Resurrection Sunday of that year, which was in March. And she turned to me, Anna Maria turned to me, she says, "Honey, would you join me?" And I said, "Huh?" I was like, "What?" I was like, just like some of us did this year, that's what I did. I said, "Huh?" But you know what? I joined her. I joined her. And we made it to resurrection on a fast. And when I got there, I said, "You know, I think I want to try something new in my lifestyle. I want to try something new. I think I'm seeing some things in my life. I think I'm experiencing some things." And so I said, "You know what? I'm going to go to April." And I went to April, and then I went, and then I said, "You know what? I'm going to go to summer." And then I went to summer, and I was a vegetarian at that time. And so I went to as a vegetarian, not as a Daniel fast, but as a vegetarian. I went to summer, and I said, "You know, Anna, if I make it to summer, I'm just going to go all the way to December." Now, I want to tell you the background of that. 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, I talked about being healed of my stomach digestion. Are you with me? That was the year that I got healed in my digestion. You may say it's not about eating, but I'm saying to you, for what I was healed from, if I had never began to experience what it was like not to be in pain, I never would have known that this was harming my life. I've been lighter, I've been more energetic, I've been able to perceive God better, I've been able to read more, pray more, see God more, have more energy. And it's not about food. It was about a lifestyle change. But if I had never said yes, I never would have experienced the things that God has brought into my life. Is everybody with me? Somebody say amen. You see, there are some things that God is asking you to come forward in because he's ready to change your life. But you're saying, "Well, that's not spiritual." Or you're saying, "Well, you know, I don't know if God would have me to do that." And that's why I said I didn't become a vegetarian because of God told me to. It's just that I said yes to something that belonged to God, and God used that and meant it for my good. Somebody say amen. You see, this story doesn't stop right there, because in 2013, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Pastor Holly, Brother Peter, but we were at a conference, a Christian conference. In 2013, I'll never forget it. That's why I'm bringing it up to you right now. Is I remember walking down this strip in New York or whatever, and we go into this food market. And for the very first time, I saw Peter and Holly start eating and choosing health items for their intake. Are you with me? So I saw them do this, and I said, all right. Little did I find out that Pastor Holly was looking at, and Peter were looking at, ways by which those things that might be inherited in her physically, she needed to get rid of it. And I have every reason to believe that's when she began to become gluten-free. Somebody say amen. Rather than the pain, and rather than the hurt, rather than the achy nights and having Peter pray over her, here it is, they began something. Do you know what else all happened in 2013? Say try. Brother Peter calls me, or maybe we were at dinner at that conference. He says, "Pastor, I've been running lately. I've been just trying to run a little bit." And he says, "You know, Pastor, if you don't mind, did you want to go out and run with me?" I said, "All right, Peter, we can do that. Let's do that." I wasn't able to do it at the time because Sister Anna wasn't feeling well. But 2013 is where Peter began to run. And now he has ran several marathons. because he first started in 2013. Somebody thank God right now. Come on, in Jesus' name, amen. You say, Pastor, why are you preaching about this? And this seems like lifestyle stuff. Because there are some things in our lifestyle that is killing us. And if God would give us a breakthrough in those areas, we would live free from the things that have us bound. What will you try today? What will you try today? You don't have to live in bondage and chains anymore. What will you try today? Every head bowed. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. There is no one like you, Jesus. And yes, God, I humbly say, I do not have it all figured out. And I know that at the sake of even offending and being a letdown and all of these things, God, I say, I too come boldly to you, the high priest, because you have connection to our infirmities. For you, like us, was tempted in all points, yet without sin. Therefore, you, Lord God, have a connection to our struggles. You have a connection to our needs. You have a connection of what it means to wear mortal flesh. You have connection to everything that I have been going through. Therefore, now today, I need a praise station. I need the Son's praise station that I may boldly leave this place and come boldly to the throne of your grace and I may obtain mercy. Lord Jesus, here am I, God. Flourish through me. I rise up and try new things. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Let's give God a big praise offering, if you will, in Jesus' name. Come on, let's give God a big shout. Stand to your feet, if you will. Come on. We had a great time in the Lord in his presence. Thank you, Lord. Blank, a blank life, an enjoyable life, a satisfying life, a fulfilling life, a wealthy life, a prospering life, a satisfying life. God, whatsoever that life is, help me practice what you preached. In Jesus we pray, amen. God bless you all. We're dismissed.